When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is December 11th, 2025. Today, we are stepping away from the press releases and going straight to the source, the users. We've combed through the top discussions of 2025 to bring you the pulse of the people, and the vibe has shifted. The wow factor is gone, replaced by a complex mix of skepticism and frustration. We are talking about the AI bubble fears fueled by IBM's CEO, the fierce backlash against Sundar Pichai's adapt or die comments, and the growing privacy panic surrounding Gmail. But before we dive into today's strategic briefing, stop marketing to the masses, start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI Unraveled, zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Now let's unravel the noise.
Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to do the ultimate information shortcut for you. We take a huge stack of sources, of research, of really candid conversations, and just deliver the essential insights.
Mm-hmm.
And today, we are wading deep into, well, probably the most pervasive and, let's be honest, the most volatile topic of our generation, artificial intelligence.
It's everywhere.
It really is. I mean, if you follow the markets or even just read corporate news, you know, AI is the only thing anyone is talking about. It's driving valuations. It's pitched as a solution for, well, everything.
Billions and billions of dollars.
Exactly. But we both know that the C-suite spin, you know, the glossy press releases, they often don't reflect what's happening on the ground.
Not at all.
So our sources for this deep dive, they ignore that noise. We're pulling candid grassroots sentiment directly from public discussion forums.
Which is where the real conversations are happening.
So our mission today is pretty clear. We just want to know, what are regular people, the actual users and workers, what are they actually saying and worrying about? We're cutting through the hype.
Yeah, and getting that ground level perspective is just so essential. The lived experience of technology is often, I mean, dramatically different from the Silicon Valley narrative.
Right.
So we've distilled this massive volume of discussions down into four core recurring themes. Mm-hmm. We're going to unpack the good, the bad, the implementation failures, and of course, the very volatile future outlook.
Okay, let's unpack this and let's jump straight in where the volume is loudest. The skepticism, the fear.
We have to start there. Mm-hmm. The negative sentiment is it's just so organized and pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one concern, it's not even close, is job displacement.
The classic fear.
It's the oldest fear tied to automation.
Yeah.
But now it's hitting the knowledge economy. And that just feels very different to people.
Yeah. And what's fascinating, though, is how people are articulating that fear. It's not just the simple, I might lose my job.
No, it's more nuanced.
It's laced with this deep, deep skepticism about who exactly this technology is built to replace. And maybe more importantly, who it's not built to replace.
Exactly. The source material captures this structural, almost cynical skepticism. We saw this one quote that just perfectly summarized it.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. It suggests the revolution isn't real until it hits the top.
That's it. Once AI starts replacing CEOs, then we will be impressed.
It's such a brilliant line. It speaks volumes, right? It implies that for now, AI is just a management tool to optimize away labor costs from the bottom and the middle.
And until it starts disrupting the C-suite, the strategic decision makers, well,
then the average worker's job is just seen as acceptable collateral damage.
And that skepticism, it transitions so smoothly into a deep financial skepticism. There's this palpable feeling that the current AI boom is just, It's drastically overhyped.
Driven by narrative, not utility.
That's what people are saying. They believe the market is being propped up by FOMO.
Fear of missing out. The next big tech gold rush.
Right. Which suggests that if the utility doesn't show up across the board, and soon, the whole financial structure could be, well, pretty fragile.
So we have jobs, we have the market bubble. Mm-hmm. What about ethics? Privacy is always the other shoe to drop with big data.
And it dropped. Hard. The systems need huge amounts of real-world data to learn, and the sources show some really serious concerns about how your personal information is being handled.
The key here seems to be that the burden of protection is now on you, the user.
It's shifted entirely. Take the example of email. The fear, and it's a valid one, is that Gmail can read your emails and attachments to train its AI unless you opt out.
And that move from opt-in to opt-out, that changes the whole game.
It really does.
Silence now means consent. You have to constantly be on guard, policing privacy settings, reading these long legal updates, just to maintain basic digital boundaries.
Precisely. And the last big concern in this section, it's not about jobs or data, it's about our brains. The very nature of learning and cognitive engagement.
That quote from the graduate student really stuck with me. The idea that there's this growing friction in academic settings.
A genuine cognitive gap. Mm. That's the crux of it. The student said it's legitimately difficult to discuss class content with my LLM using peers at times.
Wow.
If you look at that, it implies a real decline in engagement with the core material. If you just use an AI for the output, you skip the messy, hard part of actually internalizing knowledge.
And then you can't really discuss the nuances with someone who actually did the reading.
You can't. We might be heading toward a future where we're all just summarizing summaries of summaries.
That's a fundamental challenge to education itself.
It is.
But like you said, it's a mixed picture. And here's where it gets really interesting. Because alongside all this fear, the jobs, the privacy, the cognitive decay, people are finding massive proven utility in these tools right now.
We absolutely have to pivot to the practical upsides. Because for every person worried about replacement, there's another person using AI as a dramatically effective boost to their current productivity.
Okay, so let's get tangible. What specific applications are people actually celebrating?
Well, beyond the obvious stuff like drafting emails or summarizing documents, people are talking a lot about complex data sorting, analyzing code, rapid prototyping.
So compressing work.
Exactly. Taking a task that might have taken a whole day and focusing it into an hour, which frees you up for higher level strategic work.
And the application for students is maybe the perfect example of this. We heard from a user who was using AI to create mock exams for myself to prepare for the real thing.
It's a phenomenal use case, isn't it? It lets the student custom tailor a study, specifically for their weaknesses, not just some generic study guide.
It really highlights that dual nature of the tool. Like the sources say, you can use it as an actual learning tool or you can use it to slack off.
The intent of the user is everything.
And beyond that kind of work, there are some specific tech advancements that are genuinely impressing people in high performance areas, like gaming.
Right. This is where AI is already delivering concrete, measurable wins. We see so much appreciation for features like DLSS deep learning super sampling.
So for anyone who's not a gamer, can you break that down?
Sure. DLSS, it basically uses AI to intelligently upscale a lower resolution image in real time. So the computer doesn't have to work as hard rendering every single pixel.
And the user benefit is what? Smoother gameplay?
A higher frame rate. Users say DLSS is nice for having a higher frame rate without having to turn down the graphics. That's not a future promise. That's a real observable performance boost today. A perfect non-hypothetical win.
Okay, so we have this undeniable utility on one side, but this deep skepticism and fear on the other. What happens when those two forces collide? When companies try to push these tools on us?
That's where you hit the implementation roadblocks. Yeah. And where user friction just peaks.
And the biggest source of that friction seems to be this idea of forced integration.
It generates immediate hostility in the discussions. It's when companies push AI features into products where users either don't want them, don't need them, or find they actually make the product worse.
Which makes sense. If you're already skeptical about something, having it forced on you is only going to make you resent it.
Exactly. The sentiment is so clear. It's not even about the utility. As one person put it, even if it was good, which it isn't, the way they force it on you doesn't feel right.
It feels like losing control over the tools you rely on.
It does. It makes adoption feel like compliance, not a choice. and it just alienates your user base.
And that frustration is just compounded by, well, the fact that sometimes it just doesn't work, the quality and accuracy issue.
Yes, this is a huge one. We need to detail this specific failure because it's so illustrative. We see users trying to upload reference materials to ChatGPT for various projects in PDF format.
A pretty standard professional task. What's the outcome?
The outcome is often just highly unreliable, especially with dense or complex information. Users report the AI frequently returns something the user knows is false.
And that's more than just an error. That's a complete breakdown of trust.
It's fundamental. If the AI can't reliably process the specific material you literally just gave it, it completely undermines its credibility as an intelligent partner.
Because if you have to constantly supervise and correct it, the return on investment for your time just plummets to zero.
Right. And it's not just users saying this. The skepticism about ROI is coming from the C-suite of major tech players, too.
Which is really telling.
We saw it reflected in the sources. The IBM CEO questioning the whole cost-benefit ratio of the massive infrastructure spending happening right now.
But isn't that what they always say at the start of a huge tech revolution? I mean, what's the argument for why this spending is justified?
That's a fair challenge.
Yeah.
But according to the sources, the difference here is just the sheer scale and the current inefficiency of the infrastructure. The CEO stated clearly there was no way that spending trillions on AI data centers will pay off at today's costs.
So the skepticism isn't about the technology's potential, but the current cost of actually scaling it.
Exactly. It grounds the financial anxiety in a very real, very expensive problem.
So all of this, the fear, the utility, the friction, it leaves us with a really mixed, but I'd say decidedly nervous outlook on the future.
I think nervous is the right word. People are impressed, but they are fundamentally skeptical of the whole ecosystem around it. The costs, the privacy, the forced adoption.
And that brings us right back to the financial feels.
Which are expressed so powerfully in the discussions. There is this palpable yearning for a market correction. We saw this phrase repeated, almost like a mantra.
Please let the AI bubble burst. Please let the AI bubble burst.
Yes. That repetition just underlines the anxiety. This perceived massive imbalance between the staggering valuations and the sometimes flawed high-cost reality that users and even some CEOs are reporting.
And how are the industry leaders responding to this anxiety?
Well, from a high-level view, they're acknowledging that disruption is inevitable. We saw Google CEO Sundar Pichai's take, which basically stresses that it's up to everyday people to adapt accordingly.
So the burden of adaptation is on the individual worker.
He admits we will have to work through societal disruption. It's coming, and you need to be ready.
So, to bring this all together, the final conclusion from these grassroots discussions is just fundamentally mixed feelings. There's real excitement about the technical advances, the DLSS, the mock exams.
The productivity boosts.
But it is powerfully balanced by this intense, grounded skepticism about job security, about predatory privacy practices, and just the overall societal cost. It's not a simple yes or no.
No. The tension is very real. We love the utility when it works.
Yeah.
But we deeply distrust the structure and the cost when it doesn't.
Right. So if you walk away with nothing else from this deep dive, just remember the key details. That sarcastic job metric, once AI starts replacing CEOs, that vital privacy warning about the shift to opt-out data sharing, and the crippling accuracy issues when you trust an AI with your own reference materials.
Because that's the core tension right there. The undeniable utility that creating custom mock exams versus the flawed, forcefully integrated reality that gives you false information and makes CEOs question the entire financial model.
So we establish early on that there's a risk of cognitive decay, that students can't discuss content. And now we know that societal disruption is guaranteed and adaptation is mandatory. So what's the final question this leaves us with?
Well, if AI is fundamentally changing how we learn and discuss, and disruption is a given, the question for you is, what foundational critical thinking skills should you be actively strengthening right now to ensure true understanding and adaptation? Rather than just reliance.
How do you make sure you're using it as a tool?
And not just a crutch that sometimes gives you something you already know is false. That is the skill that will define how we all navigate the years ahead.
That wraps up today's special briefing. The signal for today is disillusionment. The initial hype cycle of 2025 has officially faded. What remains is a user base that is finding practical value in the tools, but is increasingly hostile toward the economic and ethical terms of engagement. The message from the community is clear. They want the tech, but they don't trust the architects. Before we go, a reminder for the leaders listening. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen, strategic intelligence directly to the decision-makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Please subscribe and share. Until next time, keep unraveling the future.